Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee's NPR. I'm Audrey Nowakowski. Medical error is the third leading cause of death in America, with more than 200,000 people dying unnecessarily each year. Worldwide, that number grows to 4.8 million. Dr. David Mayer has been a longtime advocate for patient safety. A former anesthesiologist, he now leads the MedStar Institute and is the CEO of the Patient Safety Movement Foundation, working to help achieve zero preventable deaths from hospital errors. The coronavirus is highlighting not just patient safety, but also caregiver safety as frontline workers struggle to protect themselves and treat patients under these trying circumstances. To bring awareness to the issue, Mara is going to walk 125 miles over 10 days in honor of patient safety and the caregiver crisis. He starts his trek today at Sloan Park in Arizona and will hit each of the 9 Major League Baseball Cactus League stadiums. Mayer had originally planned to start his walk here in Milwaukee at Miller Park in honor of Judy Burroughs, a Greenfield woman who recently passed away from preventable medical error complications. Her story is featured in the HBO documentary Bleed Out by her son, Stephen Burroughs. Dr. Mayer joins me now for this month's Fit for You segment and begins by explaining why he was compelled to add such a trek to his advocacy efforts.
You know, when this pandemic really hit, it was really, I felt, you know, helpless. Being a retired physician, I saw what was going on at the front lines and I decided I needed to do something. And so I organized that I was going to walk. I had watched the Forrest Gump movie and just saw him when he got frustrated, just start running across the country. And I said, well, I'm going to walk. I can't run anymore. And what better way to do a walk than to bring in my love of baseball? Grew up, first Cubs game when I was 5. I figured, what a great walk if I could go from Miller Park in Milwaukee. I could watch the Cubs play the Milwaukee Brewers. What great rivalry we've had. I could watch that game on Friday night, May 22nd, and then Saturday morning, May 23rd. I would start walking towards the lakefront and down the lakefront to Wrigley Field. Do it over 7 days. It's roughly about 100 miles on that distance that I, on the route I would do it as. And then walk into Wrigley Field and then take in the Cubs playing the Cincinnati Reds. Well, then baseball, like everything else, was postponed and became, do I walk from one empty stadium to another and have to fly and stay in hotels? It just became impossible to do. So I've changed the course and I'm going to be walking here in Arizona with a baseball team.
So you're starting at which training facility?
Yeah, so this Friday on May 22nd, I will be starting at Sloan Park, which is the spring training facility of the Chicago Cubs. And then I will walk to all 9 other spring training facilities down here in Arizona, as well as Chase Field, which is the home of the Arizona Diamondbacks, finishing at Sloan Park on May 31st. And that will be a total of 125 miles in 10 days, but still doing the baseball theme, but at least doing it with social distancing and much closer to where I'm hunkered down, so to speak, right now.
So your training walks leading up to your official walk for patient and caregiver safety, each were dedicated to someone who has died due to medical error. And the start point in Milwaukee also has some significance to you. Can you explain that a little bit?
It does. Every day that I've walked during these, you know, 100 plus training walks has been in memory of a patient or a caregiver that has lost their life due to preventable harm. And I also walk every once in a while to honor the bravery of those at the front lines who you hear doing heroic things every day. But Milwaukee had a big significance and why I wanted to start there. Clearly, Steve and Margot Burroughs are very good friends of mine. And the story of their mother, Judy, through the amazing documentary that they did through HBO titled Bleed Out, really did more to advance and to bring awareness to the issues that many of us have been talking about for years. So I was really excited to come to Milwaukee and to get back there to honor Judy Burroughs. She was one of the first people I walked in memory of. But I will tell you, if everything goes and things calm down a little bit in summer, and then if baseball does, by some chance reopen July 4th, as there's some rumors going around, I will do that walk from Milwaukee to Chicago, social distancing, following all the guidelines. But I still want to do that walk for many reasons, and I still want to come back to Milwaukee.
Walking 125 miles over the course of 10 days, what has your training process been like leading up to this? And you mentioned, you know, you can't run anymore, but wanted to try and walk. So how many miles a day are you aiming for over the course of 10 days?
Yeah, so it's a great question. So I started literally February 1st with this idea of walking from Miller Park to Wrigley Field. And so I really started training then. I had walked, as you mentioned, I've given up the ability of running anymore. My knees have told me I'm 67 years old and my running days are over. But walking has always been my, you know, sort of release, my exercise, both for physical as well as mental well-being. I usually walk 3 miles a day, but February 1st, I realized I had to, like training for a marathon, I had to start extending myself. So over the course of the last 3.5 months, my training walks have been anywhere from 4.5 miles a day up to 15 and a half miles a day. And then again, fluctuating, having, you know, lower days after a long day. But over the course of that time, I have now logged in well over 550 miles in training walks over about 103, 104 straight days, which virtually, as was announced in a press release today, that I'm going to continue after this 125-mile walk and see if I could virtually walk across the United States and cover 3,033 miles in distance. And if you plot out what I've done so far, I've literally gone from San Diego to the New Mexico, Arizona border. That would be about 580 miles following a bike path across the U.S. that many people do if they're biking across, because I would have stayed off highways and things. So the biking route's a little bit longer, but so virtually I just every week, where did I finish? So that's the long-term plan. But yeah, it's been 3.5 months of training.
How many pairs of tennis shoes have you gone through?
I am on my fourth. I always keep one pair in the closet, a new pair, just in case, because I don't want something to happen to those shoes. And then I got to get online. And, you know, everybody's ordering everything online today. So it could take sometimes, even with, you know, rapid service, it could take 3 to 5 days to get another pair. So, yeah, I've gone through. I'm on my fourth pair, and it's fun to see.
So have you found a greater appreciation for the simple act of walking? You know, we learn it when we're young, and someone looking from the outside in may think, oh, you're just walking for a really long time. That can't be too difficult. But how has your body reacted? What have you learned and implemented in your training?
Again, great question. I've learned so much. So as I had to tone down from running, walking became my, I always used to joke when I was a runner, the book, The Loneliness of the Long Distance Runner, was me, because I did not like to run in groups. I don't like to walk in groups. I put my headphones on, and to me, walking is like meditation. It's reflective time where I could think. Some of the best ideas I have are when I'm walking and just have toned the world out, so to speak, and all the pressures of the day to day. And so it's been a great release. And in some of my longer walks, I could be out there for 3, 4, 5 hours. And I do it early in the morning here in Arizona because the temperature does heat up in the afternoon. But I've learned so much. And when I post on Instagram and on Twitter, I talk about the benefits, not only of physical benefits of walking and the health, but the mental well-being, especially during times of stress, when we've got so many things coming at us, the pandemic, the change in our lifestyles, not being able to hug our children or our grandchildren. I found walking really helps the mental well-being. And I've discovered so much research about the benefits of walking. So it's really educated me during this time. And in turn, I'm trying to educate others.
As you've adjusted your advocacy walk to comply with social distancing, what are your thoughts on how the U.S. medical system has responded to COVID-19 and the stressors it will further impact on patient safety, which was already obviously an issue you were working hard to advocate for? You know, what kind of long-term implications do you foresee?
Well, the pandemic, I think, has exposed a lot of things that many of us have been saying for years. Not only was there a patient safety crisis, there was a healthcare worker crisis. The suicide rates of doctors and nurses before the pandemic was significantly higher than the general population. The depression rates of healthcare workers were higher than the general population. The dropout rates in healthcare of doctors and nurses just leaving the field because they were tired, they were just working hours that were just non-human in many ways. And now that we've had the pandemic and they've had to step up, I mean, these people are heroes in what they're doing. I talked to my friends back on the East Coast and I see what they're doing and I hear the stories and the emotional trauma. It is on them, as well as the patients and families. We've exposed so many weaknesses that we need to address when this pandemic hopefully winds down and stuff, because the emotional trauma that caregivers will have to now sit down and work themselves through. This is post-traumatic stress, really, in its true word. And there's going to be even more burnout. There's going to be more people leaving the field and saying, I'm done. So that's why I'm walking. I'm walking in support of those at the front lines who we need to do a better job of protecting so they could do a better job of protecting the patients and families they take care of. I mean, you look at the family situation that we've gone through, loved ones not being able to be at the bedside when their mother, when their spouse, when their child dies from the virus because of the isolation have caused, again, even more stress than we could have ever imagined. We never saw this coming, but we knew if we were to get hit by something like this, in many ways our health system would just, you know, really collapse in certain areas of the country, as we've seen it collapse in the stress that it's had to take on.
So throughout your career in the medical field and with your work since with MedStar and PSMF, how have you felt this walk impact you in a different way compared to the way you were working and advocating before the pandemic?
Something that I thought about really almost every day that I started this journey and what I'm doing. You know, I've worked in the field of safety, both patient and health worker safety, for many years, 20 plus years, on top of my clinical responsibilities. And there are times where you get frustrated. There's times where you feel like we're not making progress. We're not saving the amount of lives we could be saving. And we follow traditional things. And it's almost got to the point, Audrey, where I just said, you know what? I'm 67 years old. Who knows how much time I've got left? I'm going to try to do something that maybe will shake things up more. And the idea of walking across the United States to try to raise awareness about this health system safety crisis we have, maybe that'll work. Maybe that'll be sort of a last hurrah before I finally do just fade off and decide to golf or just go to Cubs games against the Brewers and let somebody else do the work. But that's really it. This is the last thing that I could do to really try to make a difference. Like Forrest Gump, I'll keep walking and I'll keep doing it until healthcare is safer.
Well, I'm sure you are inspiring many people to do the same, whether it's walking for health during the pandemic or informing them about patient safety. And best of luck as you start on Friday here. And I look forward to keeping up with your journey.
Well, thank you. I just want to add two last things, if you might be able to get in. First, anybody that wants to follow me in my daily walks and then the walk for the 125 miles coming up, my Twitter and Instagram handle is @walkforptsafety. So walk for PT safety. And I'd love to have people follow me and learn about what I'm doing, why I'm doing it, and learn about the mission as well as the health benefits of walking. And then the second thing is we're building really an army of people who have started walking with me virtually across the United States. And we use a free app that you can download on your phone called Charity Miles. And when you download the app, just select Patient Safety Movement Foundation, and it'll automatically start logging your miles and your steps into a national database in under 4 weeks. The group of people that's continuing to grow have logged in over 17 million steps and over 7,000 miles in the support of a safer health system. So please, if you're walking and biking and hiking out there, Charity Miles, download it and support us.
Dr. David Mayer is the executive director of the MedStar Institute and CEO of the Patient Safety Movement Foundation. He begins his 10-day, 125-mile trek in honor of patient safety and the current caregiver crisis today.